Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Chapter in which Apostle Paul gives us many instructions as to how we are to live before the Lord our God. And we're looking particularly this afternoon at verse 20, how children are to live before the Lord their God. Let us give our attention to God's word. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Our text is verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all heard it. You are pushing your shopping cart through the grocery store aisle, and your pieces shattered by a mother screaming at her child. Mason, stop now, stop now. I'm not going to tell you again. Please, just stop. I'm not going to give you a lollipop. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Stop now. You see the little child, and he just keeps on going. And the mother seems powerless to do anything about it. And finally, maybe that child stopped for a second, and then mother says, "Thank you." Something like that. I'm sure you've all heard at some point. Parents trying to get their children to listen, or at least to somewhat cooperate. And kids, because their parents are wrapped around their fingers, seem to be able to do whatever they want. And you wonder, who is the parent here? Who tells who what? Is that something that you, boys and girls, would like? To be able to have your mom or dad wrapped around your finger? That they would do what you want them to do? That you could just ignore them? Nothing would happen. How do you think things would go as you would grow up? Honor your father and your mother, says the fifth commandment. That's God's commandment to you and to all of us. The Apostle Paul says something similar to that here too, showing that picture that we see, that what we hear in the grocery store sometimes, what we hear in the world, is not the pattern that God wants us to follow. Apostle Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." You know it's important, but yet it's so hard, isn't it, at times? Hopefully this afternoon you'll be encouraged and helped in obeying your parents. Lord willing, God's Word will direct us in obedience to our Heavenly Father as we look at how we obey and in what we must obey and the reason we must obey our parents. First, how we are to obey. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Apostle Paul directly addresses children here, doesn't he? He doesn't say, "Parents, make sure that your children obey you in all things" here. But he says, "Children." He's talking to the children here. They're treated as responsible to God, as accountable to God. God can speak directly to them through the apostle, and they are to hear. They will give an account before God. And clearly, by speaking directly to them, the apostle Paul assumes that children would hear this letter. That children would be there in the worship of God. That children would be there as God's word is preached. It's important, obviously, for you children to be here as God's word is preached. You are to hear as much as you can hear. You are to pay attention as much as you can. You are to try to understand, even though the sermons may be difficult to understand. You can always ask questions later, right? Children were present as Apostle Paul directed or addressed them, as you children are here. And here is one of his commands for you children. This is the will of God for you as you grow up. Obey your parents. God does not, first of all, say to you to obey everybody else. But first of all, he says, obey your parents. He's designated people over you. He has placed people and he has given to them authority for you to listen to. God has made them your parents, and he calls you then in Christ to obey them. The word in Greek has the word listen in it. Listen under them. That's God's commandment to you. God has given to you, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord, right? And He's provided salvation for all our sins. And when we come to Him with the wrong things, with the sins that we have done, and confess it humbly before Him and ask for forgiveness, He washes those sins all away. He forgives those sins. And He redeems us from those sins. But how does He want you to live for Him? What is especially His will for you while you are young? To obey your parents. As children who love the Lord Jesus Christ, as we trust you do, you are to obey, to listen under your parents. To pay attention. To give heed to them as they speak to you and as they instruct you, as they teach you. They are there to lead you. And that's difficult. Because when you think about your parents, you automatically must think about sinners as well. They're not perfect people, are they? And you know that even the way in which they parent you. They have many faults. They have many weaknesses. They're not always fair. Perhaps it seems to you that they hardly are ever fair in the way that they deal with you compared to how they deal with your sister or your brother. It may seem that at times you don't hear love in what they say. It may seem that they might do things. It may even be that they do things that go against what they say to you. It may not be right. It may be that they lose their anger, or they become angry, that they lose their temper. But God knows that. In fact, He addresses them in the next verse here. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. They are responsible. They are accountable before God for the way in which they are a father or a mother to you. They are under God. They have to obey God, and God will deal with them as a father or a mother, as they have been to you. But despite all their sins, God still calls you to obey them, to listen to them. Paul calls for obedience here, but he could have said, honor your parents. That's the word that's used in the Ten Commandments. But the Apostle Paul directs sons and daughters to one aspect of honoring parents. That is obedience. He's focusing here on obedience. There is to be honor given by all sons and daughters to the parents, especially when they're older and even married. We must listen, respect our parents, aid them when they need it, help them, provide for them. But for you children, you especially are to obey them. Now, is obedience just doing your duty? Is obedience just a matter of doing it? Mom says, clean up your room, and well, you hate to do it. I get it done, and even though I hate the commandment and I'm bitter against her for saying it, no, it's more than that. When your parents tell you to play with your younger brother and he's over in his bedroom playing with Lego blocks, it's not simply just a right to go and sit with your back to his and keep playing with your airplane or whatever it is, all the while being mad and sulking. No, you are to play with him. It's not enough just to go through the motions. It's not enough just to sweep the floor, like Mom said, or take out the garbage, but you are to do even more. You must do so not begrudgingly, not complaining, not with a bitter spirit. You are to do so as cheerfully as you can, with a willing and with a thankful spirit, because you must remember, God has saved you from your sins. And in His kindness and in His love to you, He has set your parents over you. To do so begrudgingly, to do so with complaining, with bitterness in your spirit. Does that please the Lord? Does that please the Lord? Paul says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. He has in mind here that the Lord is over all things. We are to keep that in mind. And so as we obey the Lord, it's not just what our hands do and our feet do and our words say. It's also even what's on our minds, even what's in our hearts. The Lord sees that. 2 Corinthians 8:9. The Apostle Paul urges the Corinthians to give to their brothers in need of Macedonia. And Paul calls them there to give then. But how are they to give? Are they to give unhappily with frowns on their faces because they don't want to? No, he says in chapter 9, verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. God is pleased by a cheerful giver, by one who obeys happily, thankfully, even though it might be that he doesn't want to. Obedience is not then just a matter of doing something, but it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. You can give orders to a robot, and that robot will do it. But we're not robots, are we? No, we're to do it as children of the Lord. When God saves his people, when he worked in your heart, in your life, he did not just make us a people who do good things, who maybe tithe once in a while, even though we don't want to, or come to church and worship God, even though we'd rather be at home. No, Psalm 110 says, your people will be willing in the day of your power. When God works salvation in us, he takes out the stony heart, the heart that does not want to obey him and does not want to yield to him. And he gives us a heart of flesh, a heart that wants to obey him, a heart that is thankful. God said to the people of Israel through Isaiah that they would eat the good of the land if they were not just obedient, but willing. If they were willing. That's hard, isn't it? To listen to your parents and obey them in a way which you're really saying in your heart and your mind, Lord, whatever my parents call me to do, I will do it thankfully. That's difficult. But God calls us all, adults as well, to obey from the heart, to obey him and his commandments from the heart. And we can only do this depending upon God to change our hearts, to conform our hearts more and more to Jesus Christ, who followed holiness and righteousness and always obeyed his heavenly Father. We can only do it being united to Jesus Christ. The power of his work, of his death, and of his life at work within us by the Spirit of God. So we put to death sin. We put to death grumbling and complaining and bitterness and anger. And we instead replace that with willingness and joyfulness and thankfulness and cheerfulness. How are we to obey? With thankful, willing hearts. And secondly, in what are we to obey? Are we called to obey our parents only in some things? Are we only to obey them when it seems reasonable to us, when it seems sensible to us, when you can make sense of it? No, in all things, the Apostle Paul says. That is, in all things which are right before the Lord. As long as they don't make you disobey God, you are to obey them. God calls all his children to obey him in all things. And the children are to then obey their parents in all things. Deuteronomy 8, God says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Every command. And so also, children, God commands you to obey your parents in all things. When your father gives you a list of things, are you to simply just pick out the nice things, the fun things to do? No, all things. Not to be like that boy we were talking about at the beginning of the sermon, Mason, who chose when or when not to obey his mother. Even in those things when it's very difficult. Your parents are commanded by the Lord. They're commanded by the Lord not to make life as easy and as enjoyable as possible for your children. No, to teach you, to train you, to even chastise you, to punish you if need be. Deuteronomy 6, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your parents. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You're to teach the ways of the Lord, His commandments continually. That's the duty of parents. Not when it feels good. Not when the children of want to hear about it, but all the time. God commanded Israel, and He commands us too, to keep His commands, His word, as a sign on our hands, to keep them before our eyes and on the doorposts of our house and on our gates, in order to bind everyone in the household to God's word. It doesn't mean that we're to post verses everywhere in the house and on the front door and in our car. It's saying it figuratively that we are to keep God's law before us always. So that as little Johnny blows us top, we bring before him the Proverbs that talk about keeping a man who keeps his passions under control. Sometimes, because of sin in our hearts, this gets very difficult. It becomes hard for you not just your hands and mouth to obey, but to give your heart to obey. And sometimes that means that your parents must break your will. Sometimes you will not obey them, and so they have to persist in such a way where you are going to get hurt. They need to chastise you at times, to spank you, to discipline you, or to remove privileges from you, to ground you. But God says in Hebrews chapter 12 that He, as our Father, He disciplines every son whom He loves. But that chastening, though painful, it yields, it says, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that is God's discipline. And your parents' discipline, so that you might become more like Jesus. So that you might learn patience. That you might learn love. That you might learn self-control. That you might learn self-sacrifice and obedience. They call you to obey them, even difficult things, to break down the stubborn, sinful spirit within you. You might not even know you have it. Just as God does in us as well. Children, obey your parents in all things. What if Jesus obeyed His Father in almost all things, but then not at the point of the cross, when the command of His Father was for Him to lay down His life for His sheep? What if He obeyed His Father in all things, including going to the cross, but then in some other area of life, not in perhaps stealing something or having some covetous thought in His mind, didn't obey His Father in that one area? What would be then? Our salvation would be undone, wouldn't it? And He wouldn't be then that perfect model of obedience to us. of a son who always obeyed his father. But he did. And he is our example. He is your example, children. He always obeyed. He always listened to his mother and Joseph as well. And his heavenly father, he obeyed even when it might have seemed, well, it didn't seem unreasonable. He knew it was right. But to us, it would have seemed unreasonable. He lived perfect and righteous. And he had to obey and submit to parents who were sinners while he was not. Even when he really did know better. He had to love, honor, and obey parents. And parents that he, for which he would be their savior for their sins. So is it really too much for God to call you, to command you to obey your parents in all things? No. It's necessary. It's right. Well, thirdly, we do see that it is for you that you must obey, for your good, the reason why we are to obey. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Parents are a great gift to you, children. And to all of us, we've all had parents. It's a wonderful blessing that God has given, a covenant blessing that God has given to us, an environment in which we grow up under the tutelage, under the authority, under the direction, under the mentorship of those who have experience and of those who have already been taught in life, of those who know better than us, and those who love us. Your parents went through much sacrifice, your mom giving birth to you, your father, and providing for you a home, and providing for you food on the table each day. They both have labored for you, and they love you then. Isn't that an amazing thing that God has placed you in a relationship that really mirrors his relationship with his people? That he also loves his people. He's born these people. He's labored for these people. He cares for them, provides them. And so he tells them to obey him. And that he will lead them in paths of righteousness and a blessing. And so also the parents also then to their children provide an environment which they will care, provide for, protect, but also teach and instruct and discipline their children in the way that they should go. They will nurture them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You wouldn't learn that on your own, would you? But the Lord God in his wisdom has given you that arrangement in life so that you could be taught, so that you would have someone to live with you all the days of your life, all the days of your childhood, who's not only someone who is over you and has authority over you, but someone who's your friend, who cares for you, and who's teaching you, a mentor. What a rich privilege that is, that we have had. The Lord has given that to us, we adults, but which he calls us to give that to our children, and which you children can be blessed by as you grow up. It's easy to take parents for granted then, isn't it? To even become bitter against them. To almost wish you didn't have them at times, right? Times maybe you even wish, you're looking forward to a day when you'll be free from your parents. What a gift God has given to you by giving you your parents. Give thanks to God for them. So God has given them to you then to love you and to care for you And they have sacrificed much. They have shown much patience in persisting with you, even when you were stubborn at times and wouldn't listen. Hours and hours of time, perhaps also helping you ride your bike or answering all your questions. But they did it because they loved you. And this is not just their love. This is because they're commanded by God to train you. This is not just then their love. It's not just their training of you. It is God's training of you. Paul says it is well-pleasing to God to obey your parents. What he means then is that the parents stand as representatives of God's authority and of God's love and of God's training over you. They stand, in a sense, in the place of God over you. They're not God, but they stand representing God's authority to you. It's well-pleasing to God that you obey those He has set over you. Because that's the proper response to His loving devotion for you. John chapter 5, Christ talks about the Father's love for us and His love for us. And then He calls us to continue in that love, to obey Him, to keep His commandments. Obedience is a proper response to God's love. And obedience to your parents is the right, the pleasing response to them and to God. So God is pleased with your obedience. Obedience that comes from the heart. Obedience that is a response of Christ's salvation for you. Obedience that comes from thankfulness and a love of God. This is glorifying to God. Not because the obedience is so perfect in itself. It's not. Any obedience that we do, it's stained with sin, isn't it? But it reflects Christ working in you. It reflects the Holy Spirit's work within your heart and within your mind. And that is glorifying to God. God sees the effects of His work. That's well-pleasing to Him. To see Himself reflected in your attitude, in your actions, and in your words. In your loving of your brother or of your sister. In being patient and accepting God's will when you don't get what you want or don't get to go somewhere where you had hoped to go. Do you desire children to be well-pleasing to God? To desire that, doesn't that require putting to death the desire to please ourselves? Well, then, truly as the commandment states, if you desire to please the Lord and you obey Him, it will be well for you. It will be well for you. But children like Mason, whose parents have no control over him, who don't train him, don't discipline him when he's bad so that they can tell him, come over here, and he will not listen. It will not go well for him. Mason won't learn how to obey. He won't learn how to live for Christ. He won't learn to obey God and fear God. He'll only learn how to love himself and serve himself. And in society, things will not go so well for him. But when he comes before the throne of God, then things especially won't go well for him. Obey your parents and the Lord. You can only do that through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who bid children to come unto Him. He is your Savior if you trust in Him, who has saved you from your sins and brought you unto Himself. And He gives you new life in Himself. And how are you to live this new life? You are to obey your parents. This is pleasing. Look to Jesus then, so that you might receive strength to obey Him. Amen. O Lord our God, we confess that within us is a wayward spirit. We confess that within us, Lord, there are yet so many desires to resist your will and to not walk in your ways, to not submit ourselves to you, our Heavenly Father and our God. And we pray that by your Spirit you would put to death all these evil, wicked desires, Lord, that we would, with one heart and one mind, singleness of heart and mind, that we would obey you from the heart. Lord, we pray that you may then also teach our children through us to walk before you in godliness and in fear and in faith. We pray, Lord, that you would give us, parents, wisdom in teaching them. And we pray that you'd work in their hearts, that they too would have a desire to obey you and to obey their parents as well then. Forgive us for our sins, we pray. Forgive us for our waywardness. We thank you for the throne of grace that is always open. We thank you, Lord, that you give to us, after you have forgiven our sins, a new day. Your faithfulness is renewed, and we can begin again in the new life that you give to us. We pray your blessing upon us and in this week as well. That we might walk before you, and that you might be with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.